Good morning and welcome to Community Connections with Children's Services Council of St. Lucie County. I am just one of your humble and caffeinated hosts, Sean Boyle. With me is
Ashley Mock.
And welcome to the half-hour radio program that's all about connecting you, the listener, to resources and things that are available for children and families in our great community we call St. Lucie County. Now, longtime listeners know exactly what I'm going to say. First-time listeners have already picked up on this, that we are not radio show professionals because we work at the Children's Services Council, Ashley, myself, and many other people that really work on 5 priorities in our area. And those priorities are, 1, making sure every baby is a healthy baby, 2, stopping child abuse before it happens, 3, keeping kids off the streets, 4, keeping them in school, and 5, keeping them off drugs, alcohol, and other risky behaviors. And when I say that we work on those priorities, what we do at the Children's Services Council is we fund, develop systems of care and programs to make sure that families have access to these programs. And then we track those outcomes, both community-wide and participant-wide, to make sure that we're having the greatest positive impact for children and families in our community.
That is right. And we share all of that information in lots of different ways, including on this show, which is where we spend some time talking with our funded program partners about the work that they do in the community and the successes that they are having in working with families. But there's also a ton of information available on our website at cscslc.org, including some of the information about the impact that Sean just talked about. We publish an annual report every year that talks about what our programs are doing and the impact they are having on the community in those 5 priority areas. But it really is kind of a quick glimpse at the work that's being done, how it's affecting families, and what these programs are doing to make our community a better place. So the annual report is a great place to find that, again, on the website at cscslc.org. But often we talk about it on the radio show, so you could just tune in and learn more.
It may be the longest way to learn about all the resources, but clearly the most entertaining. So yeah. Ashley, I know we want to mention our concert that's coming up, but I'm just curious, we're 2 or 3 weeks into the new time change. And weirdly, I say that because as we're recording, I was yawning because I'm tired and I don't get it. So we fall back in time. So you'd think I'd be getting up earlier and going to bed earlier. And I'm doing the exact opposite. I'm staying up even later and I'm getting up even later. How did I mess up the time change internally that way?
I don't know. And I feel like we've had this conversation. I thought we voted that it was going away. That's not happening clearly. Also, I have a puppy, and guess who doesn't pay attention to the time change at all?
Look, you know, it's never too early to teach your dogs how to tell time.
I wish that he thought that the time change was working in his favor, but it's definitely not. And also, it's just really dark. We drove home. We were leaving our last volleyball game of the season. Well, our last home game. And it was dark. And my son was like, is it bedtime? And I was like, yeah.
Yes, it is. Yes. Take advantage while you can.
In fact, it is bedtime.
But to segue it over, and I think you'll appreciate this, but what that means, listeners, is it's earlier, daylighter. That's a word I totally just made up. But for you to head to the Sunrise Theater to get your tickets for our 12th annual Sounds of the Season concert. See what I did there, Ashley?
I like that a lot.
You thought I was going to talk about the weather next. No. Our 12th annual Sounds of the Season concert, our free holiday concert that is going to take place on December 15th at 7 p.m. Tickets are free. It's going to showcase 5 of our funded programs that have amazing youth that are going to perform. Again, free on the stage of the Sunrise. All that we ask is you grab your tickets at the Sunrise Theater box office. Again, did I mention the tickets are free? And if possible, when you show up for the concert, if you can bring a new or gently used book, we will in turn use that for our St. Lucie Reads effort. But if you're like, Sean, I want to come to the concert, but I can't get my hands on a book, that's okay. Come anyway. All are welcome.
Yes. And I happened to be at the Sunrise Theater recently picking up tickets, and they are going quickly. And so we tell everyone this every year, but make sure you get those tickets early, because I promise you the week of, you don't want to be scrambling looking for them. There's a limited number. It's only one show. We don't want you to miss it. So make sure you get those tickets ahead of time.
I thought you were going to say you were there doing some sound checks to make sure that your performance was top notch for the concert.
How did you know?
I knew you were going to surprise me. I put it on my Christmas list, and I've been a relatively good boy this year.
Good luck.
So I like that. Good luck. All right. So I thought you were going to say, no, I know you. You haven't been that good this year. So real quick, before we get to our guest who's waiting ever so patiently, we do want to reference, all joking aside, it's the holiday season. With the holidays comes a lot of good time, but it also comes with a lot of stress and a lot of memories, particularly memories of maybe loved ones that are no longer with us or physically can't be with us in the holidays. So if you ever feel like you just had enough and you need somebody to talk to, I'm going to remind everybody that you can call 211. 211 is information and referral, but it's also a crisis line. Crisis line is defined by you. And when I say crisis line, if it's 2 a.m. and you're just struggling and you need somebody to talk to, you can certainly wake whoever you want to up, or you can call 211 and they have professionals that are paid to listen and kind of be there in your crisis. So just a friendly reminder that you are never alone in our community. And if you really need somebody to talk to and you're not comfortable talking to a loved one, or it's just at a time when you can't, please, please, please pick up the phone or even text 898-211 and then put in your zip code in the body of the text so they know how to help you or which community to provide help to. But I just remember that you're not alone. And I think in the holiday season, it's an important reminder that we need to remind not only ourselves, but our loved ones as well.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Now let's bring on our guest who's going to tell us what not to eat. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Now we're going to talk about how to be healthy, or hopefully she'll give us some tips about that. So we at the Children's Services Council have a great partnership with the Department of Health in St. Lucie County here, and a longstanding partnership with their school nurses, which are an amazing team of individuals that work in the schools in our school district every single day. And we have so much fun with them because they make talking about being healthy fun. If that's possible, it's possible.
They
right?
dress up in costumes.
They dress up in costumes. We were talking about that before we went live. They can be soap. They can be fruit. They can be vegetables. It's a full service school nurse program, if you will. So we are excited today to have Elizabeth Pantano with us, who has been a longtime friend of ours on the show and at the Children's Services Council. So we're going to talk about what school nurses do and some of the things that they're responsible for and some tips for parents on how to work with them and with your child's school and ways to keep everyone healthy. So that's a lot. We have a lot of boxes to check off.
So first, welcome, Elizabeth. And I just have a question. And this will kind of start us off on this conversation. So it's that time of season. Now, we just got done, before we brought you on, talking about the holidays. Everyone's going to think, oh, it's the holiday season. But it's also flu season. Let's just be honest. And as a self-proclaimed germaphobe, I never travel very far. If you ever see me and you're like, hey, I may need some hand sanitizer, I am your guy, because I usually have it with me. But we know that's not a good substitute for washing hands. So let's talk about, just because we're in the holiday season, everyone's going to be going to, you know, our concert. Everyone's going to be going to family. How do we stay healthy, particularly those of us that have young kids? How do we stay healthy during this holiday season?
So the main way to stay healthy is to wash your hands with warm soap and water. It is the best way to do. We teach the students to sing happy birthday twice while they're washing their hands. So they wash their hands long enough or sing their ABCs twice. And with warm soap and water, it's the best, because sometimes hand sanitizer does not kill all of the germs. And the warm soap and water helps loosen them up and washes them down the sink.
So always wash your hands. And I need to start carrying bleach with me. Is that what I'm hearing?
No, not what she said.
I'm just kidding.
Warm soap and water.
I am joking, folks.
And covering your mouth with a tissue or with your elbow when you cough or sneeze, and not touching your face. So don't rub your eyes, don't put your, you know, hands in your mouth, things like that.
And there's my downfall, because I have allergies, and at any one point, something on my face is itching at all times. So it's very hard not to. I really struggled during COVID not to touch my face.
It's tough. I do that a lot too. I rest my hand on my face a lot, and I know it's bad, but all right, I'm going to be good about it too.
So, and obviously anybody with little kids, and we're going to talk about the school nurse program, but this is just a segue. Everybody knows with little kids, sometimes, you know, hey, go wash your hands. And they come back in 2 seconds and you're like, did you even turn on the water? You know, I've been in households where like, let me feel your hands. You didn't wash your hands. And so the happy birthday song or the ABCs twice. So that's a good minute, 2 minutes, basically.
Yes. It's actually about 20 seconds actually is what they need to do. So it's not that long. They just need to, and use soap. When we tell the children in the clinic, we say, you know, go and wash your hands with soap. So that's sometimes they're known to put their hands under there and rinse off with water and run out.
It's a good family activity. Let's all go wash our hands together, right? That way you can ensure everybody got soap. Or as a parent, you need to model it, right? That's what I learned from Susie's soap. You got to get in between your fingers, got to get the tips of your fingers. You got to get down by your wrist. I should be a surgeon. I could scrub up for surgery at this point. I'm pretty good at it.
I like it. So obviously, you know, we have a team of school nurses, and they're, I think one of the things that was always interesting for me to learn about the school nurses is that there is not a full-time school nurse in every school. So you guys are actually broken up and responsible for a lot of children. I remember having a conversation with you several years ago, Beth, and you had like 1,200 plus children that were in your care. And I was like, that's too many. That's far too many. So talk a little bit about the program and the team that you guys have, because it's really impressive what you are able to do and how you work within the district.
So in every clinic, there is a health aide. And then there's a registered nurse that works for the Department of Health that delegates care, the care of students to those health aides. So the registered nurse travels from different schools, from 3, 4, some of them even have 5 schools, and is the resource for that health aide. And yes, so some of them have anywhere from 3,000 to 5,000 students.
Wow. That's a lot.
And so part of that role, though, as a nurse, obviously responding to, you know, and you and or the health aide responding to, you know, hey, I'm sick, or this child got sent down to the nurse's station. But you also do a lot of kind of like preventative and or screenings, if you will, to make sure everybody's kind of starting the school year well, or the school year well is going to go well and healthy. Can you kind of talk a little bit about that?
So absolutely. You're referring to our health screenings. And so we do health screenings every year for certain grade levels. It's kindergarten, first grade, third grade, and sixth grade are the mass screenings. And we screen for vision, hearing, growth and development, and sixth grade gets scoliosis. And we also provide dental screenings, and those screenings are provided for all elementary students and into middle school, and we would like to expand that program.
And for screening, because that's so important, particularly young, right? Like you may, you know, I'm thinking of like a kindergartner who may have vision or hearing issues. You're really not going to know that unless they get screened, right? You'd just be like, oh, they're not paying attention in class, or oh, they're not getting their homework done. And so it's so important, but for a parent to have that screening, is that just automatically done, or do they have to sign up for it? How does that work?
So the parent has to sign a consent form. They can sign a paper consent form in their child's school, or they can sign consent on Skyward. So when they sign into Skyward, it pops up and they have to sign up and they need to check each individual screening. We have to have consent for all of them. And, you know, it really is when you think about children that have vision problems, the CDC estimates that 6.8% of students in the U.S. have vision problems, identified vision problems. And so it's really difficult for children that have problems seeing or hearing, or if they have dental pain, to learn. It's really a barrier to learning those things. So we like to identify them early on and get them referred to their physician and get it corrected so that they can be successful in school.
So I actually have a vision story about my middle daughter. When she was in kindergarten and first grade, she did very well in class. She was, you know, she could get by, or she figured out a way to get by. But what we noticed was that when she was in large groups of people, she got very anxious. And it actually popped in first grade on a vision screening that she maybe needed to get a referral to get some additional screening, you know, additional vision tests done. And she ended up having to get glasses. And after she got glasses, we joked that she was like an entirely different child, because I think when she was on stage or when she was in a large group, she couldn't see what was happening and it made her very nervous. And once that problem was corrected, she was totally fine. It wasn't an issue for her anymore at all. And so it really was the teacher who made a request to make sure that that screening got completed. And that's how we got that first indication that there might have been a concern. So yeah, it definitely works, and it's definitely worth it.
So for our parents and grandparents that are listening and they're like, oh, my child goes to St. Lucie Public Schools and I would like to get them screened. And, or maybe they're like, I'm not really sure if he or she was screened. I heard you say they can go to Skyward or contact the school. So does that mean like they can get screened all year round, or is there like certain times of the year when they get screened?
That's a great point. So we do screenings once a year at schools, and they only have to sign a consent form once, kindergarten through 12th grade, to get a screening. And then there is a separate form. They get a dental screening with that consent, but to Sunny Smiles is a program, the dental program, that does sealants in school. And so they have to have a second consent form signed. So if they sign up for the dental screening, they get a little package with a goodie bag with a toothbrush, and they get a consent for signing up to have the sealants performed.
And I can remember, and Elizabeth, I'm going to say it was 10 years ago, and you're probably going to say it was 20 years ago, but I remember when the dental issue was brought to the roundtable as an issue. And I can remember, I don't remember which school it was, but I think you were the lead on that. And I remember sitting in the audience. I can't remember. How long ago was that? I'm sorry. I got to wrap my
15. I just had to count on my fingers. 15 years.
Okay. 15
and
years.
It was Garden City, C.A. Moore, and St. Lucie Elementary.
And I remember you showing pictures of the dental decay that was in the mouths of some of the students. And I don't, if anybody's ever had dental pain, I mean, dental pain, back pain, and ear pain are possibly the three worst pains ever. Cause it impacts your mood. It impacts the way you think. So imagine a student being in school and having major dental pain, and then we're wondering why he won't sit still, he or she won't sit still, why they don't do well, or why they're acting up. It's because they got all this other stuff going on. And I think a lot of parents, and naively, I probably was that at one point, thinking, oh, well, they're young, they have baby teeth, they're going to come out anyway. But those baby teeth, even though they come out, until they come out, they can create quite chaos, if you will, and pain in a child's mouth. So that kind of your initiative and your bringing those findings really helped start the dental program that is now Sunny Smiles today.
Well, it's so important. You know, we had so many children that had dental pain in school, and it's definitely been a passion And we have such a great team now, and they are providing so many dental sealants and referrals, and we're really a model program in the county.
Yeah, and I would just encourage everybody again, while you're looking at, if you're, I know a lot of our listeners are like, did our child get screened? I'm not really sure. So they're going to go talk to the school, or they're going to check on Skyward. Also do the dental screen, because those sealants are kind of like a game changer, right? Because it kind of protects the teeth for a while. Not saying you can't, you still got to do all the necessary precautions, you know, brush your teeth for, and I have a toothbrush now, Ashley, you'll be proud of me. Ever since I've adopted this toothbrush, I haven't had any cavities in a while. It times how much time I got to spend on each side of my mouth, top and bottom. So I know not to switch until it pauses for a second.
That's some interesting. So there's new technology. I don't know if you've heard about this one, but I have a brother that works at Procter & Gamble, so I get this. So they've now developed toothpaste that changes colors at the end of 2 minutes. So you know that you have to keep brushing until it turns pink. It's blue toothpaste, but it turns pink after 2 minutes. And so we just bought that for my kids. I'll keep you posted.
Very cool. Very cool.
That's new. That's new technology. He said they've
been breaking story right here.
That's right.
So the dental program, is that available to all students as well?
Elementary school, actually Early Learning Coalition students in daycare centers, aftercare programs, summer programs, elementary schools and middle schools.
That's great. And again, I can't express how important that is. And I know if they find like major issues or whatever, that, you know, is more than just a cleaning and showing how to brush your teeth and the sealants, then I also know that there's kind of like a network, if you will, of dentists, if they don't have a family dentist, that, you know, whether it be through the Department of Health, Florida Community Health, there are like a network of dentists that will help provide advanced care if needed.
So we refer our students to the Department of Health, to Forever Smiles, and sometimes they need specialty care, and then there's someone that helps case manage those students to get them to a specialty care dentist.
And, you know, I'm thinking there's got to be parents, grandparents like going, are we really talking about teeth for young kids? But again, I would just go because I know both my kids have had cavities before their baby teeth, their child teeth, whatever the word is, came out. And if you don't address it, it can not only cause teeth issues, but it can cause like physical issues throughout the whole body, correct?
Absolutely. They can get abscesses. They can cause infection. It's been untreated dental abscesses have actually caused a number of deaths in children and adults. So it's really important to take care of it.
And it's simple, right? Because you guys have really eliminated some barriers for them by being able to offer these screenings and even the sealants at school. That takes away the necessity for travel, for, you know, additional visits or appointments. So by being able to provide those services to them at school, it really does kind of take away some of the barriers that parents may have in accessing care for them.
Absolutely. It's simple. They just sign the consent form and our team comes in and sets up and just puts the sealants on. And it's really simple. Parents don't have to take off from work and make the appointments. And so it's a really great program.
So we've got about 5 minutes left on the show and I want to talk about something. And I'm not being sarcastic, although it's clearly going to sound like it. So I can remember when my son was younger and we'd go to the school, you know, end of the year awards or whatever. Let's say, you know, he made honor roll or whatever. And then there was always like two or three kids that were like, they never missed a day of school. And then I remember there one time there was this kid, they're like, he's never missed a day of school in 5 years. And I was sitting there as a parent thinking, that kid went to school sick. There's no way a child can go to school for 5 years straight without being sick. All I kept thinking was, if he's sitting next to my kid, he's getting my kid sick. So the big question I want to have is, as a parent, when, like, you know, kids, kids are always sniffling. There's always something going on. What's the good guidance on when my child should stay home from school? Because let's face it, that can cause a burden to households, especially if they're younger. So what is what do you use as a guidance to say my child should stay home or he's going to be okay? He's probably not going to infect anybody. He can go to school.
So absolutely. We have guidelines that we use. And so if your child has a fever of 100 degrees or more, they should stay home. If they are vomiting, have diarrhea, coughing, have a severe headache, a rash, sore throat, red draining eyes, any symptoms of something that could be communicable, they should stay at home. And if they're just too sick to come to school, they should stay home. Oftentimes kids will, come into the clinic. As soon as they get to school, they jump off the bus and come into the health room. And we usually send them back. We always call their parent. But if that kid is, really sick in the morning, if your child's really sick, they should stay home.
Yeah, it's funny. We forgot to give the warning that if any children were listening, they should stop listening, because now I can just see if a child was listening. They just got the whole list of what it will take to stay home from school.
I have sore eyes. I have a sore throat. Yeah.
I have all of the above. But no, that's good guidance. And look, I mean, Ashley, you've got your children are younger. I mean, it's a judgment call sometimes, right? You're like, I got to go to work. You're just now telling me this. I don't have arrangements. Hopefully you're not contagious. And off they go, right? But I obviously the fever is a big, big, big tell, right? And then obviously sore throat with strep and the flu and all that stuff. It's better to be safe than sorry. But we also understand the dilemma that many families face when that happens.
Well, and I think part of it too, all of those signs and symptoms are indicators that something is happening, right? Your body is working on something. And all of that to me would indicate that you need additional rest to help that process along. And sitting in school all day, whether they were coughing or not, to me, that's not going to be less stressful for them than just getting the rest that they might need at home. And so to mitigate the symptoms and to mitigate the spread and to help that process move quickly through the body, I think all of those things point to stay home when you need to stay home.
Yes. Yeah. And the health para is probably going to call you to come and pick them up anyway.
And let's face it, before we sign off here, that's good advice for your coworkers as well.
And still listen to those rules.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Well, we're going to remind everybody, talk to your school, jump on Skyward, see if your child has had a health screening. If not, sign the consent, both health and dental, to make sure that your child is completely healthy, because a healthy child is a successful child in school. An unhealthy child, whether it be dental or otherwise, it's going to impact their learning. And that's what we're trying to avoid when we're in the schools, right? We want everybody to be good so they can be focused on school and be successful. Elizabeth, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
All right, folks. I'm going to remind everybody, it's a weekly radio program, for better or for worse, every Sunday on 104.5 The Flame at 10 a.m. If you miss the radio program, do not fret. Just simply pull out your phone, look up, pop up your podcast app, and just look up Community Connections with Children's Services Council. And through magic of the interwebs, it will appear there, because we are grateful for every listen. Elizabeth, we're going to send you the audio to make sure that you can hear your own voice. You'll be very excited to hear that. I remind everybody that it's our children, our community, our future. Now more than ever, folks, we're all in this together. We'll see you next time.